My name's Dr. Vivian Miller, and my colleague Dr. Alan Barclay, and I would like to talk to you today about how to avoid gaining adverse weight at Christmas and festive season. Alan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Thanks, Vivian. Yes, Alan Barclay, accredited practicing dietitian, nutritionist, and chef with over 30 years of experience in clinical dietetics, public health, and academia. And Vivian, how about you?
Fantastic. I'm basically a GP. I specialise in diet, nutrition, diabetes, and cardiology, and I'm a barefoot chef. So
I like
I
it.
just enjoy
Yep,
it.
beautiful. Very good.
So would you like to start, perhaps, Alan, and tell us a bit about what the difference between gaining weight and gaining adverse weight might be at Christmas and festive season?
Absolutely. Yeah, and we obviously decided to talk about this because this time of the year in many parts of the world, it's the festive season and we go to parties. In the Northern Hemisphere, traditionally we've eaten lots of energy dense foods, that's foods that are high in kilojoules or calories, if you prefer, to keep us warm over the winter period. But of course, that doesn't apply here in Australia. And of course, in those parts of the world, putting on a bit of extra fat was probably a good thing because it got you through the winter. But here in Australia, we don't really want to do that. We want to maintain our muscle mass and probably our fat mass as well, so that we look good in our swimming gear. And that we can be physically active and fit into our favourite summer clothing as well. So I think it's all very important. And I say those things because they're a great measure of where you're putting the extra body fat on. If you don't fit in your favourite swimming gear or your favourite summer dress or for men shorts and t-shirts, then that's a good indicator that you've put on too much body fat. And that's really what we're talking about. So weight can be many things. It can be muscles. For those of us who have office jobs and have an active summer holiday period, we might put on some muscle, which is not a bad thing. But if we notice that our clothes are getting a bit tighter around the middle, and we can measure that objectively, if we use a tape measure, which I'm sure most people have at home, we can see that we're putting on fat. And fat around the middle, of course, is not good for our health, as I'm sure you'd like to discuss, Vivian.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you make an important point. We would like to gain muscle at Christmas, not fat around the middle in particular. There are certain risk groups that is particularly important for. And I think this comes back to the metabolic effects that fat, especially abdominal fat, presents to the human body. We're not meant to be overweight. Being overweight is historically a way of storing calories for times of hard times, basically. So if you go back a few hundred years or even 100 years, you can find that your grandparents' great-grandparents' clothes were much, much smaller than yours on average. And I was quite shocked actually when my mother passed away to find that although I consider myself not particularly overweight, she was probably half my size. So I think we have a distorted image these days of what a normal weight actually is. So that brings me to how the festive season affects you metabolically and health-wise. And there are some particular risk groups that come into this that I would like to discuss. The first I think we know is patients who have diabetes. A lot of people, their measure of diabetes control, which is the hemoglobin A1C, their blood glucose levels and their average blood glucose levels over 3 months, which is the hemoglobin A1C, goes up at Christmas. And you see that reflected in the new year. The same with people's cholesterol levels. I actually tell patients not to do their cholesterol levels before February, because they're likely to be upset by the result. All these things are preventable, which we'll go into in a minute. Other risk groups are patients who have eating disorders. Christmas can be a very, very confronting time for people who have bulimia, anorexia. It's difficult for them. Patients who have depression or other mental illnesses may not have the support or feel that they have the personal control to look after themselves at Christmas. And so weight gain or significant weight loss can pose a risk to their health. Patients with heart failure. is an undiagnosed group. People forget about these at Christmas. If you've had a heart failure problem in the past, if you've been told to be on a fluid restriction for a variety of reasons, if you have ever been hospitalized for shortness of breath due to your heart, then you are at risk during the festive season of having increased body fluid from salt retention and excess fluid because of drinking too much at Christmas, and that doesn't have to be alcohol. Specifically, it doesn't have to be alcohol. So these people are all people who can find that they run into problems at Christmas or in the new year, either metabolically or even worse in the accident emergency. So I think these people would be very, very wise to discuss with their doctors on a regular basis their general health and how to maintain it, because at Christmas this is particularly important and it's often forgotten. So metabolically, the three main groups that I tend to see in general practice that become unstuck at Christmas are patients who have blood sugar problems, especially those with diabetes, of course, patients with eating disorders, and patients who have fluid balance problems, for example, the heart failure patients and some of the renal patients. And we have to remember, in a lot of countries around the world where the weather is particularly hot, people can dehydrate quite easily at Christmas, especially in the southern hemisphere, where it can get up to 45 degrees in some parts of Australia. So drinking water is particularly important, and making sure that you have good fluid balance if you do have any of those particular risk groups, and staying in air conditioning where possible, and cooling down, being not outside in the heat of the day. So those would be my medical tips for avoiding becoming unstuck at Christmas as a general rule. And I would like to know, Alan, having discussed these risk groups, how do you maintain normal blood glucose levels and normal cholesterol and avoiding fat gain around Christmas time? What tips
do you have? Absolutely, and I totally agree with you. Those are the primary issues affecting most of us at this time of the year. Here in Australia, party time seems to start around about Melbourne Cup time, whether you celebrate it or not. And we start going to those office. Yeah, that's right. And we start going to those office parties first, and then it's family, what have you, gatherings, of course, and then Christmas Day. And then, of course, it's New Year's. Then it's Australia Day. So the problem is the duration. It tends to go on for many months. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if it was just one off, it doesn't really matter that much. One meal out of your 21 meals a week doesn't make much difference. But of course, if we're partying, you know, several times a week, then it's going to contribute to fat gain. And I think we tend to focus on foods, but I'm very glad you talked about fluids as well, because of course, this time of the year, we do tend to drink more alcoholic drinks, and people aren't aware of the amount of kilojoules or calories in those at this point in time, though I'm very happy to mention that we have recently passed legislation here in Australia and New Zealand to put kilojoule labelling on alcoholic beverages. So people can look forward to that rolling out over the next few years. And that will empower them to see that their average, whether it's a beer or a glass of wine or a mixed, you know, a cocktail-like drink, you know, contains many hundreds of kilojoules, just as much as the much demonised sugar-sweetened beverages that we do tend to focus on more, perhaps, and less so on the alcoholic drinks. So, and I think from that perspective, you've talked about not having too many drinks in total. I agree, you can work out your own fluid requirements. On average, it's about 8 cups or glasses of fluids a day, but it does depend on your size. The bigger you are, the more you need, obviously. It's 35 millilitres per kilogram body weight, to be technical, and that's quite easy to calculate yourself. And, of course, you can have other things other than water. We don't go to the pub for a glass of water. We might want to have an alcoholic drink. There are plenty of low-alcohol drink options available now. They become very popular. You can get them in supermarkets and what have you. And, of course, there are other options, including, say, 100% fruit juices, or even the no sugar or diet soft drinks as well. They're fine, and people can have all of those things as well. So, and spacing out when you do have an alcoholic drink to have one non-alcoholic drink in between, to avoid a whole range of unwanted effects. So that's the drink side of things. Would you like me to talk about the food, Vivian, or have you got anything to add to that
I'd
those
be really
thoughts?
interested. Yeah, I'd be really interested, Alan, in what tips you would suggest for other people as to how to avoid weight gain during the festive season. I'm thinking about things like how you cook for the festive season, what you might shop for, how you cope with parties. What do you do as an accredited dietitian?
Yeah, so I think let's start at the beginning then, the shopping. And luckily here in Australia, the retailers are good. They do direct you when you come in the door into the fresh produce section. And at this time of the year, we're very blessed. I mean, we've got a really good food supply, and at the moment we've got some fantastic summer fruits, berries and mangoes and melons and what have you.
I think you're making other countries jealous.
I know, that's right. So we are lucky. And so fill up the trolley with those foods. We don't eat enough either fruit or vegetables in Australia. Most of us don't at any time of the year. And now's a good time to try some perhaps foods that you haven't tried before, some of those exotic berries, whether you make a fruit salad or eat them alone, it doesn't really matter. But fill up your trolley with those, and of course, all of the vegetables. It's a great time of the year for salads. And salads are quite low. I talked about energy density at the very beginning. They're low energy density. So lots of water in them, which is good for hydration. They fill you up, they're refreshing. So have plenty of salads, plenty of fruit, and then that's the good way to sort of kick things off. Because if you fill up with those foods, you're less likely to want to have the more energy dense foods that are, of course, a part of the party scenario, whether that's, potato or other vegetable chips or other starchy snack foods that both children and adults like to eat at this time of the year. If you filled yourself up with some delicious, healthy foods, you're going to be less likely to overeat on those foods. And then, of course, when you go from the fruit and veggie section, you progress into the meat and poultry section of the supermarket. And of course, go for the lean cuts of meat. And it doesn't really matter, whether it's beef, lamb, or pork, depending on your religious practices, of course. And seafood, we don't eat enough, and this is a great time of the year to have more seafood in your diet to make most of those special occasions. You can get some of it prepared if you're not that confident, really. I find a lot of people aren't confident in preparing seafood, so just get something that's pre-prepared if you're not that confident and enjoy it. And then, of course, the dairy section generally comes next. Go for the reduced fat. It doesn't have to be necessarily light or skim, though if you've got cholesterol issues, if you've talked about Vivian, there are the products that contain the plant sterols, and there are milks in particular that help lower cholesterol levels. So they're actually good, and they're not low fat, they're reduced fat. So they still actually taste pretty good. So most of people that I see say, they're really nice. They don't, skim milk can be a little bit watery for some people, but the reduced fat milks and those the plant sterols actually taste really good. So that's a good tip for people like that. And obviously a light cheese. Now there's not really any light soft cheeses, and they're plentiful at this time of the year. And I guess the only suggestion I can have there is just not to have too much of them. Have a taste of them, enjoy them, but don't have too much. And then of course we do go into the butter and margarine section. This is a much debated topic. I generally say if you've got high cholesterol, then there are cholesterol lowering margarines. And Australia removed trans fats from the food supply back in the 1990s, so we didn't have the problems that, say, the United States had, and I think that's the source of a lot of the confusion around margarine. So rest assured, the average Australian margarine is not a source of trans fats. And if you want to have a cholesterol lowering version, there are plenty of them, and some of them are butter flavored and everything else. I think that's great for those people. And then, of course, well, moving on into the aisles, obviously breads and cereals tends to come next. A good quality bread. I really do prefer sourdoughs, but I guess I do live in Sydney and maybe I'm spoiled. Maybe they're not so common in other parts of Australia, but you can get good quality packaged bread in most supermarkets these days. And a lot of the home brand breads, like Aldi, has a great sourdough. It's actually very good quality. So you can get those, and Coles and Woolworths do bake their own as well, depending on where you are living. So good quality bread. That's not going to adversely affect your blood glucose levels, obviously, if you don't eat too much. But if you're filled up on the fruits and veggies and some lean quality meat, poultry, seafood, then you're not going to want to overeat in the starchy carbohydrate foods anyway. So, and of course, this time of the year, salads, a good salad to have is a pasta salad. But if you like potato salads, there are the reduced carbohydrate, like the Spud Light or Charisma varieties, which have a lower glycemic index and less carbohydrate. And if you cook them and then chill them and make them into a potato salad, that's actually quite a good food from a blood glucose perspective as well. So, as is a cold pasta salad. So, again, as long as you don't eat too much and think about it, your fist side is about the size of an average potato. One or two of those in a meal is adequate for most of us. So I think, they're the core foods. Then, of course, the party foods. Well, if you filled yourself up well with good quality foods, you're less likely to be nibbling on some of those other foods. But it's not a matter of saying you can or can't have this or that. No food is bad. Every food that's sold in our shops and supermarkets in Australia is safe and nutritious in general. Just it's a matter of quantity. So keeping yourself full with good quality foods and not overeating the party foods is really the secret to success.
Excellent. Well, as far as I go, unfortunately, I'm dog-like. And by that, I mean that if it's there and it tastes nice, I will eat it. And I will keep eating it. So I'm representing everybody out there who's not like you, Alan. So my feeling is I don't change the way I eat at Christmas. I don't have to. But what I do, and I do this all year round, is I don't buy things that I'm not going to be able to eat in reasonable amounts. So there's a condition called Prader-Willi syndrome, which I don't have, but it's a serious condition that's genetic, where people can't stop eating, and they literally need to have, locks on the fridge door. They need to have their carer or parent, give them substitute foods. Now, I took a leaf out of these patients' books. And this is my policy for not gaining weight at any time. So when I go shopping, I don't buy anything that I think is going to adversely affect me. Okay? By that, I mean by cholesterol. So butter is out for me, cream is out for me, because I know I'll just eat it. And I just don't want to go down that path. So I think that some of diet and nutrition and how much you want to weigh is actually a choice. At Christmas, obviously, I want to have a proper Christmas pudding because I come from an English background. We have a roast dinner, which I usually do. And as you say, the potatoes are really good quality potatoes that we have access to in Australia. As a general rule, I would suggest that people don't eat more than two medium potatoes a week if they have problems with diabetes, or weight gain. Because if you start eating too much carbohydrate of any sort, then you're going to start putting on weight, especially around the middle, as we say. And the problem with this is that if you eat potatoes many times a week, you're probably also going to be eating bread many times a week. And you can find carbohydrates quite addictive for some people. And carbohydrate has been pushed over the last few decades as a substitute for saturated fat. You've got to eat something. And when we were told that butter and full cream and cutting the fat off meat was desirable, and not to have full fat cream, full fat milk, then the carbohydrates became a substitute for that in a way because people had to eat something. What we really should be doing is eating more vegetables and fresh fruit, fresh produce. And I believe in cooking for myself because that way, as a general rule, I can control what goes into it unless my darling daughters come in and decide to take over. And as far as takeaway goes, I think takeaway a lot of people can't afford anyway. So it comes back to spending the money that you would spend on takeaway at Christmas doing your own cooking. So for Christmas pudding, I have basically I use an olive oil blend instead of butter or lard, God forbid. Mince pies I have seriously restricted because not very many other people in the family like them as much as I do. So I've decided this Christmas There's not going to be that many of them. Chocolates, I tend to give away at the end of the day so that they're not there. And the same with things like, at your workplace where there's chocolates, I'd have one or two a day maximum, because you have something. It's not about complete deprivation in life. You've got to have something. So I choose my poisons. I don't drink alcohol, so that's not an issue for me. People that do drink alcohol will be seriously suggested to restrict your alcohol at Christmas and perhaps enjoy some of the other stuff instead. People who have alcohol problems need to speak to their doctors at Christmas time in advance and perhaps consider when the best time to stop drinking might be or reduce your drinking might be. Not everybody can reduce their drinking. So, in a nutshell, I tend to have a saturated fat and sugar-reduced Christmas pudding, which tastes really nice because you use a lot of fresh fruit, you use a lot of lemon zest, a lot of other flavourings, and it's a typical boiled Christmas pudding. I have a vegetarian Christmas, I'm vegetarian, and salads are a large part of that. And there are some things that you can eat heaps of, like bean salads. It's very hard to overdose on bean salad, okay? And you can put a lot of tomato, avocado, onion, all sorts of olives in with them, and it makes a very, very nice, nutritious food. And other fresh salads are lovely. I don't make too much potato salad for the reasons I've given, especially if we're having a roast around the same time of year. So those are my tips. And basically, when you go to the shops, you don't buy anything that you think you shouldn't have. Horrible,
Yeah, no,
isn't it,
I understand where you're
really?
coming from, and I think what we've
Isn't it?
highlighted, it's horses for courses. It's having a plan. I took people through the supermarket. Having a list is something, of course, which is really what you're getting at, and sticking to it. If you don't buy it, you can't eat it. And then I think you've touched on what I would call food reformulation, which is something that is quite easy to do if you know what you're doing, if you're confident in the kitchen. Not everybody is. But you can buy healthier alternatives in the supermarket as well. And I think,
Become confident in the kitchen.
well, people need to
Become confident
invest
in the
in
kitchen.
their
Make it a New
cooking
Year's
skills.
resolution.
But that's, it's easier said than done. But I think that's certainly an area that we do need to focus on as a community. We haven't enough in the past. So if you do have preparation and cooking skills, then obviously you have much more control over what you eat. And I think that could be a good New Year's resolution, Vivian. And maybe that's where we could. That's the end of this session, and we can talk about that in the new
One
year.
last thing, one last thing before we go. You don't have to live in deprivation, okay? So I choose foods that I really like, fresh fruit salads. I do things I really like. And if you do the cooking, you can control what you want to eat. And that's one of the marvelous things about cooking. So that will be
Absolutely.
one of my other messages.
Yep.
Okay.
Lovely. All
Lovely
right.
Happy New Year, a lovely Christmas, festive season, everyone. You in
Yep.
particular, Alan?
Thank you. You as
Okay.
well, Vivian. Yes, happy festive season, and we'll look forward to talking again in 2026.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.